Blog Talk Radio.
Are you giving to the world a smile?
A smile.
Helping lessen someone's dreary mile. Do you greet the world with song as through life you pass along? Cheering those whom you may meet along life's way.
Helping someone on life's way. From the paths of sin, bring the wanderers in to the Master's fold to stay.
Help to cheer the lone and sad. Help to make some pilgrim glad. Let your life so be that all the world may see the joy of serving Jesus with us.
From the paths of sin, bring the wanderers in to the Master's fold to stay.
Help to cheer the old and sad. Help to make some pilgrim glad. Let your life so be that all the world may see the joy of serving Jesus with a smile.
Was Tennessee Ernie Ford and the Jordaneers singing Give the World a Smile. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope and pray that you are well, well in the Lord, well in body, well in spirit, well in your mental frame of mind. As for me, excited, always excited when it comes to the Word of God. Always looking forward to sharing the word of truth, the word of the Lord, the word that edifies the people of God and gives them great confidence and great hope. We are in this series talking about trusting in the Lord and doing good in 2023, trusting in the Lord and doing good. Our study for today, as for this entire week, it comes out of Psalm 37, verse 3. It reads, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, we praise your name, and now, Lord, we draw near to your table yet again to be instructed from thy word. How we love your word, how we yearn for your word, how we desire your word, how we chase your word. Bless us, O Lord, as we turn to the text. Make come alive in our hearts, we pray. Use it to build us up in the most holy faith, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Trusting in the Lord. Putting all of your confidence in this God, this Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Putting your trust in the ultimate closer of all times. You know, when God starts something, he'll finish it. That's what the name Lord means. He's the closer. Whatever he started back in eternity past, you know, the Bible says that you and I were elected, chosen before the foundations of the world. So before anything was created, God started this thing called the plan of salvation. And what is he doing today? He's closing it out. He's bringing it to fruition. He's fulfilling his purposes. He is bringing history, human history, as we know it, to a close. And it will end with the glorious arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord. Put all your faith in him. Never waver. Never turn to anyone else. Never turn to God plus something else. It's all God or nothing. He will not have you split your trust. He will not, you know, years ago, when somebody was trying to get a hold of my money, they said, you need a financial advisor. And I said, really? And they said, yeah. And not only do you need a financial advisor, but you need to diversify. Take your money and diversify it. Have a little bit over here and have a little bit over there and have a little bit over that. I said, no, I'm good. I don't need a financial advisor. And I do not want to diversify my money. And they said to me, well, you know, that's what everybody's doing today. Well, I got a different, I have a different plan. I will trust in the Lord. In other words, he's got it all. The Lord has got it all, and I will not diversify. He's got everything. And that, listen, that's just me. If you have a financial planner and he's taking your money and or she's taking your money and she's invested in and you've done well, then God bless you. But this old preacher, listen, it's God for me and God. That's it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Lord. He wants us to put our complete trust in him. And then that's what we do that benefits us. But then the text says, and do good. In other words, be a blessing to other people. Trust in the Lord. Trust that God will take care of you. Trust that God watches over you. Trust that God will not let anything happen to you. Trust that God has your best interest. Trust that God will see your life come to completion. Trust that God will have no weapon formed against you will prosper. Trust that God will have surely goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. That said, once you've trusted in God, once you have placed your entire existence in the almighty and secure hands of God, now go out and do good. Go out and be a blessing to as many people as you can. Go out and be a blessing. And then the text says, which is the portion that we're looking at today, it says, so shalt thou dwell in the land. In other words, if you live your life trusting God and you are one of his agents to promote his good, he'll keep you around for a while. He'll keep you around. You know, there's a shortage of people who do good. If you're into doing good, if you're into representing God, whom our brothers and sisters down in the city say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God is the ultimate expression. God is the ultimate picture, the embodiment of good. God is good. So, my brothers and sisters, we are his agents. We are his representatives. And if you are good at doing good, then God will keep you here for a long time. Thou shalt dwell in the land. This is the first promise. This is a promise. This is a blessing. Trust in God is what you do for you. and do good, which is what you do for others. If you do those two things, then your place on planet Earth will be secure. You will dwell in the land. What land? The land of the living. The land of the living. Why? God's got to keep you around. He's got to keep you around. Now, let me give you an example of this. Turn to the Gospel of Luke. Turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. The first chapter. Verse 34. It says, starting at verse number what? 34. It says, and Simeon blessed them. Blessed whom? Blessed Mary, the mother of the baby Jesus. He blessed Jesus and he blessed Joseph. And Simeon blessed them. Now, who is this Simeon? Well, if you go to verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him in verse 26 by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So Simeon was around for a long time. Why? He was a devout man. What does the Bible say? He was what kind of man? He was a just and devout man. That's the first example. Here's an old man whom God promised. He says, listen, I won't let you die until you see the second person of the Holy Trinity in flesh. Simeon got to see that. God kept them around. But then if you turn to verse 36, and there was one named Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of what? Great age. She was of great age. Verse 37, she was a widow of about 84 years. And she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. God kept her around. Why? She served a purpose. She did good. She interceded for people. She fasted on people's behalf. And she went to God on people's behalf day and night. Simeon, an old man, kept around because he did good. Anna, an old woman, kept around by God because she did good. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, and what will be one of the benefits? What is one of the promises that God gives you? You shall dwell in the land of the living. There's a shortage of people that do good. Keeps them around. Because there's a great demand for people that do good. And since there's only a handful of people that do good, God gives them longevity. God gives them long life so that they can hang around and continue to do good. Today, I really want to talk to you about a young lady named Dorcas or Tabitha. And if we pick up the story in Acts chapter 9, turn to Acts, the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. Peter is making his pastoral visits. Peter the Apostle is making his rounds, going from place to place, visiting the people of the Lord, visiting his flock. And we're going to pick it up in Acts 9, starting at verse number 32. Acts 9, 32. Our main story is that concerning Tabitha or Dorcas. Tabitha is Aramaic, Dorcas is Greek. So Acts 9, starting at verse 32. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed.
Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.
Then he arose immediately.
So there, Peter comes to Lydda. There's a man named Aeneas. He's paralyzed for 8 years, bedridden. And Peter heals him by the power of God's grace and by the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whose stripes, his stripes we are healed. Now the story goes to Joppa, another town adjacent to Lydda. Let's continue reading in verse 35.
So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did.
Now, Dorcas is a young lady, Tabitha, Aramaic, Dorcas, Greek. And it says this woman was full of good works. Now, the word full in Greek means to overflow. Now, you take your car and you drive up to the pump. And you give the gentleman the card and you say, I want to fill up. I want to fill up my car with gas. And so they take your card, they punch in the numbers, you put in your access code, and then he says, okay, you're set to go. And you go out there and you start pumping your gas. And 5 minutes later, the nozzle lets you know that your tank is full. The dial on under your dashboard lets you know it's full, and also the instrument that you're using to pump your gas, it won't pump anymore because it's telling you there's nowhere else to put gas. You're completely full, so you keep pressing on it, but it won't let anything come out. You're full. The Bible says she was full of good works. Now, she's not an apostle, she's not a prophet, she's not an evangelist, she's not a pastor, she's not a teacher. She's just a woman who's full of good works and charitable deeds. Now, that word alms deed or charitable deeds, as in the New King James, in the King James it's alms deeds, and the New King James charitable deeds, comes from a Greek word that has to do with heart giving. You're giving from the heart. Now, of course, in ancient Judaism or in the days of the apostles, the church collected tithes and offerings. And so alms deeds was something that you did above and beyond of your tithes and your offerings. So she gave her tithes, she gave her offerings, but also she was full of alms deeds. This was a woman of means. This was a woman of financial means, and she used her finances, good works, as a representative of Christ. She bankrolled, she financed, she subsidized her ministry, not by asking people to donate, not by receiving donations, not by having a PayPal account where people can send offerings. No. Listen, she did this out of her own pocket. She wasn't playing with other people's money. She wasn't doing ministry by soliciting funds from the neighborhood or the government. No, she was doing ministry as she financially subsidized, as she financially bankrolled her own ministry. So notice, if you tally her good works, they were to the overflow. If you tallied how many times she went into her home purse to pay for her ministry and her ministerial deeds, they were to overflow. She was full of good works and alms deeds. Two separate tanks filled to capacity. Now, she dies. She gets sick and she dies. So let's continue reading in verse number 37.
But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room.
So, for whatever reason, this young woman had succumbed to some sickness and she died. No doctor could cure her. Now, it wasn't because she didn't have funds for doctors, no doubt. She had money. What was the source of her money? We don't know. What was it, an estate that her father left her or a wealthy husband? We don't know. We know she had money. She was wealthy. But her money could not secure a doctor that could cure her. Ah, trust in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that to say don't trust in doctors. Of course. Go to your appointment. Go get your checkup. Go get your annual. Go do every test you need to do. But notice the limitations of human doctors. They can tell you you're sick. They can diagnose what you have. They can give you treatment, but they can't save you. She died. And what could the brothers and sisters do? Well, they prepared her for burial. She was washed, she was made clean, and they laid her up in an upper chamber. That reminds me, back in the old homestead, I remember the first time I was exposed to a family death back in the old homestead with my father's side of the family. And I remember my father telling me they're going to bring his uncle and they're going to lay him out in our living room. I said, what? Because being from Brooklyn, New York, as a young boy, whenever we went to see somebody laid out in a casket, it was in a funeral home. Well, in the country, there were no funeral homes. Well, let me restate that. There were funeral homes, but for wealthy people. Country people had their relatives laid out in the casket in the living room. Here comes the man from the funeral parlor, and they bring my father's uncle, and they laid him out in the living room, and there he is, and I'm looking at the guy there in the casket, and my cousins are looking at him, and it's daytime. They brought him early. They brought him about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was daytime. And then at night, they said, okay, it's time for everybody to go to bed. And everybody was at my house, at my father's house. And they had put little mattresses on the floor for some of the relatives that had come. And, you know, they had made makeshift beds and all that. And I never slept with my brother David. And my brother David said, hey, can I sleep with you? I said, not a problem. I was going to ask him if I could sleep with him. And then my cousin said, hey, can I sleep with you guys? And there was a bunch of us bunched up into one bed because, you know, there is Uncle Boris Karloff in the living room. And I had never seen anything like that, a dead person, a stiff. In the house, and we were all, you know, we were all full of fear as kids. So here we are, five, six, seven of us, who knows how many were in one bed, all crammed in there. Never has done that before, never did it afterwards, but that day when that uncle was there and he was laid out, and my brother says, I want to go get a glass of water, and you had to pass the living room to go to the kitchen. And I said, I'm not going. I'm not getting up. I told my brother, drink your saliva, because I'm not getting up. So it reminds me, this text reminds me, they laid her in the upper chamber. Now look at verse 38.
And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them.
Now, here's another interesting text. And here, I have some pictures here for you. I have three pictures. The first picture records Acts 9:36. Acts 9:36, it says, there was at Joppa a certain disciple, a certain student of Jesus, named Tabitha, which is by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. There's the first picture of Dorcas to your left. What is she doing? She's sewing. But more than sewing, the Bible says, the Bible describes that she is full of good works. What does Psalm 37, verse 3 say? It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and help others. She was full of good works, which she financially subsidized herself. And then verse 39, it says, and when Peter came into the house, the widows. So now we know who was her target group, or who was the group of people, who was the demographic that she served. Who were they? Widows. They stood by Peter weeping, showing Peter the coats and the garments which Dorcas made herself for them while she was alive. So she was a seamstress. She made clothes for these people. She would buy material. She would buy cloth and start sewing. She'd pay for the cloth herself. She'd pay for the needles herself. She'd pay for the thread herself. And then she would get to working, and she would clothe these poor women. She served the elderly. She was what we call a gerontologist. Gerontologist. Remember that old medicine, or that old tonic they used to sell back in the 60s called Geritol. Geritol. And it was for old people. You take a swig of that, you take a big spoon of that, and it was supposed to give old people pep, Geritol. Well, today there's a fancy word in the social work world. It's called gerontologist. A gerontologist is one who specializes in taking care of the elderly. So here she is. Here she is. She dies. And the widows, the old women with no husbands and no children to support them, they come and they show Peter the garments, weeping, crying. Now, look at verse 40.
But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said,
Tabitha, arise.
And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord.
Well, You see what the text says? She was dead. And Peter raised her from the dead. Of course, with the sanctioning and approval of God. And when she was raised, he presented her alive. He walked into the room. She was dead. The widows testifying as they were crying, weeping, and full of anguish, heartbreak, that their beloved Tabitha, their caretaker, was taken from them. But you see, the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 3, do good and thou shalt dwell in the land of the living. Why did God raise Tabitha from the dead? Well, because there are very few good people doing good. God could not afford to lose Tabitha. Couldn't afford to lose her. Why? She was an amazing missionary. Did the work herself. Subsidized the work herself. Lived an impactful life. She did good. And as the promise goes, if you do good, God will keep you around for a while. A good long while. So she died young. And here comes the servant of the Lord, Peter. In the name of Jesus, Tabitha, arise. And he presented her alive. And she continued to live. She continued to serve. She continued to do good. Because that's the promise of God. Do good and you will dwell in the land of the living. God needs you. God needs me. So do good. And you'll live a long and happy and rewarding life. I'll be back tomorrow. Now, I want to leave you with the song from Tennessee Ernie Ford and the Jordaneers called A Beautiful Life. God bless.
Each day I'll do.
Each day I'll do.
A golden deed.
A golden deed.
By helping those.
By helping those.
Who are in need.
Who are in need.
My life on earth.
My life on earth.
Is but a span.
Is but a span.
And so I'll do.
And so I'll do. Life's evening sun,
life's evening sun,
is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go,
and I must go to meet the deed,
to meet the deed
that I have done,
that I have done,
where there will be,
where there will be
no setting sun.
Light must shine along the way. I'll sing his praise
while ages roll,
and strive to help some troubled soul. The only life that will endure is one that's kind. And so for God, I'll take my stand.
Each day I'll
lend a helping hand.
Life's evening sun
is sinking low. A few more days,
and I must go.
Setting.